Now, back to a couple of guys who believe Rin Tin Tin may have rusted to death. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us on the phone in this segment, Dr. Aaron Horan, who is president of Pointers from Oz out in Williamston and also a veterinarian. Welcome to the show, Dr. Horan.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Dr. Horan, with Pointers from Oz, I've had a little bit of experience, as I told you on the phone as we were setting up this interview. I babysit for one of the dogs that you guys have rescued, and I've got to tell you, George, the English Pointer, is one of the most fabulous dogs in the world.
Glad to hear that.
But boy, does he need a lot of exercise, and I would imagine that that's one of the reasons why you get a lot of the dogs that you get, is that people just don't realize how much exercise some pointers really need to get.
Yeah, and they're just, I always use the comparison because most people are familiar with Labradors. You can get some labs that are quite mellow, and you can get some labs that are very high energy. And the breed we rescue at Pointers from Oz is English Pointers. They're also just called Pointers. And they, just like labs, have a spectrum of exercise. Some are quite laid back, and some are very, very high energy, to the point that, you know, they need a trip, like, to the off-leash dog park every day, even if you have a fenced-in yard, that sort of thing. So yeah, that's definitely one of the big reasons we get them turned in.
And why else do you receive dogs? I mean, one of the things that I was thinking is that we were just interviewing about what dogs have hunting drive and what dogs don't. If they don't have hunting drive, does that usually mean they end up with you?
Well, definitely. We definitely end up with a lot of them, but I was actually, you know, discussing this with a friend the other day, and really the reason we get them, I explain to people, is I think it's part of its expectations. If you get a dog as a pet and you think it's going to be your best buddy and then potentially might be a good hunter, then that's a great way to look at getting a hunting dog because there's no guarantees. You know, it's sort of like hoping your kids will end up going to college or something like that. There's, you know, you don't know what their potential is going to be. So you need to be happy with the dog, no matter, you know, if they hunt, if they don't hunt, and how good at it they are, and their style, that sort of thing. So that's one thing. Second thing is the amount of training required. A lot of people think that they're sort of like straight out of the package. You just let them go, and they'll figure it all out. And there's a lot of training that's required. And some people do it themselves. We love to train our own dogs. And it's obviously cheaper to train your dogs, and it's fun, and the relationship's really fun. Other people will hire somebody or send them to a kennel to get them trained, which is absolutely fine to do, too. It's obviously more expensive, and you have to keep up on it and have them go back, you know, sometimes, you know, a little bit every year to retouch them. But yeah, basically, as far as that goes, so, you know, I guess the point is that people get these dogs thinking that they're just going to be, you know, easy to train, and potentially they're not, or, you know, they're gun-shy, something like that. And then the last thing I think is some people, you know, people like to think that they're going to go hunting a lot, and realistically, even avid hunters usually just go a few times a year. So you've got a dog you live with 365 days a year, and you're going to maybe go hunting with a few days a year. So that's definitely something to keep in mind. And probably, I guess, the last reason I'd throw in is there's definitely a mentality with hunting dogs that they are, you know, that they've got a job and that's their job, and they're not pets otherwise. And they're in the sporting group, same as Labradors and Golden Retrievers, which, you know, people are more familiar with. And they make wonderful pets, that sort of thing. They love to be in the house. They don't have a whole lot of fat, and they don't have a whole lot of hair, so they do much better in the house, and they love to be with their people. So as far as our rescue goes, we actually only place dogs in homes where they're going to be indoors. And then I guess I've got one more reason why we get them. They are really good at, because they're high energy and things like that, they're definitely tend to be escape artists as far as dogs go. They're definitely a dog that requires a fence and a good fence, and sometimes they require an underground fence and not just the regular fence. Some of these dogs can get over easily. Most of them can get over 4-foot fences. A lot of them can get over higher fences, 6 feet or higher than that if they climb. So people have to be willing to watch them in the yard or get an underground fence or something like that for these dogs.
Is there
all of the reasons we get them?
Do you find any like a radio fence? Can that work? Does it?
It works really, really well, and people are surprised with that. But for some reason, the way pointers think, it actually makes more sense to them to have an underground fence. We have an underground fence ourselves, and we have 14 dogs that are ours, that are, you know, house dogs and trained to the fence. We've got a couple acres, and we've trained over 100. dogs to that fence.
Now I understand. I guess I was thinking underground fence, and as in the fence has to be put down far enough they can't dig underneath it or whatnot. But
you're saying
a radio fence.
Yeah, radio fence. Yep, exactly. Yeah. And some people, there's invisible fence, but that's actually a trade name. So you try to,
Right. So underground fence. Yeah. We'll stick with the underground fence. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the least expensive ways of making a perimeter.
And it keeps your view, too, as a bonus. The only downside with them is, I guess you need to make sure the battery is up to date on the car.
Sure.
And then the other thing is other animals and neighbors' dogs can get in, of course.
Sure.
But pointers, the good thing about that is they are not territorial dogs. So they're not going to be aggressively going after, they might bark when your neighbors pass by with a dog on a walk. Our dogs do that, but they're not territorial. If a dog comes on their property, they're not going to attack them or anything like that.
Do you vary the I imagine you control to some extent where these dogs go. So if somebody doesn't have a yard, that's something you just won't adopt them out to, I assume?
If they have a really big commitment to exercising this dog, you can live with a pointer in the city, that kind of thing, as long as you're committed to exercising them. So if you're willing to go to the dog park literally almost every day, if not every day, I actually raised my first few pointers in the city of Seattle, and there's a wonderful off-leash dog park system there.
Uh-huh.
And I did fine with that.
If you're not going to take them to a dog park, how much acreage would one want in order to really have a, does that vary upon the dog?
Even a regular yard is absolutely fine. But even with that, I tell people too, you're better off training these dogs to be off leash if you can do that. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have access to a dog park, there's a lot of state land areas, that sort of thing, where you can let the dogs off leash, and that ends up being better. I tell people, as far as like walking a pointer on leash, I tell people if you like to walk your dog on leash, that's great. It's more of an activity for bonding, that sort of thing, than actual exercise, because if you walk a mile, they walk a mile, whereas when they're off leash, if you walk, a half a mile, they probably did 15.
So that
makes a little bit easier to exercise them. So.
Aaron, if people are interested in getting in contact with you or coming out and looking at some of your dogs, how would they do so?
The best place to find us is on the internet. Our website is, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with petfinder.org, or you could do petfinder.com. Either way, will pop up, and that is a wonderful website for finding any kind of pet. Dogs, cats, they even have barnyard animals and everything. And we're on there, and we're pointers.petfinder.com or .org, either one works. So pointers.petfinder.com is the best way to reach us. That's got all of our contact information and things like that. So, and we have less dogs in our program right now. We're sort of reorganizing and doing, getting nonprofit status and rearranging our program, that sort of thing. But we definitely can still refer people to dogs that need homes, even if they're not listed on our website. So.
Fantastic. And how many dogs right now do you have that you need to find homes for?
We actually just adopted our last one, so we actually have zero right now. We're taking a new one in, so we're definitely reorganizing everything. But we definitely know of a lot of dogs that need homes, so if people email us, we can refer them directly to the owners.
Fantastic! Thank you so much for coming on the show, Aaron. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been our pleasure. We've been talking this morning with Dr. Aaron Horan from Pointers from Oz in Williamston, Michigan, and we thank you very much. Rick, we've had just a fascinating conversation. Hunting dogs are really, really unique animals, and if you've ever been out with them or spent time with them, you really begin to get a sense of what kind of characters these animals truly are.
But one and the three guests that we had, what about dedicated people? You could sense from all three of them that they're just dedicated.
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely. And if you happen to miss any part of the show or you want to listen to it again, you can go to our website at 1320wils.com and listen to this show or previous shows. And you can listen to the show streaming live if you aren't in the Lansing area. But if you are in the Lansing area, then we expect you to be here and listen to us again next Saturday on 1320 AM. And for all of our listeners, on behalf of our producer, Holly Rotter, and my co-host, Rick Bruce, this is Lee Cohen saying, have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you again next Saturday. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great week, everybody.